Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to another Good Morning Live. It is my honor to be with you today as we open up the Word of God, start our mornings right, and really encourage one another. So I do want to remind you of that. If you are watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, do all of those things, become a digital missionary and help us take this message forward. I want to welcome all of our friends watching today on TikTok Live, and of course, all of our friends on the Pioneer Channel around the world watching us live as well. It's good to be with you. So an update, I had some of you text me yesterday when I was talking about my son Bob at daycare and him crying and doing what he was doing because he switched to a new daycare center. And so today was his third day there. And it was interesting. I thought we were good. We pulled up and he didn't start crying or anything. And I'm like, all right, this is where we're there. So I took him in and I said, all right, Bob, I see you later. Dad loves you. And he looked at me and he said, I'm going to sit right here and wait for you. And just sat right down on the ground. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I called Sarah afterwards and she said, huh, I wonder where he gets the emotional manipulation from. He may have gotten it from me. I don't know. So it was like, man, I would rather you cry than say something like you're going to sit right here and wait for me all day to come back for you. Anyway, kids, daycare. But it is what it is. So anyway, well, we've been on a journey this week talking about divine order. And man, I feel like this struck a good nerve with a lot of yous and our comments and chats on especially on Spotify were lighting up, and just with people's comments, and so I feel like it's really something that the Lord's been speaking to me. I told you that yesterday. This is something he's personally talking to me about, and I obviously he's speaking to some of you about it as well. And what we looked at yesterday is how God wants us to have a divine order and rhythm to our lives, that he hasn't called us to live lives that are out of order and dysfunctional and chaotic and a mess. And a lot of times when we live lives that are chaotic, it's actually a ploy of the adversary to come in, because we don't necessarily see those small little open doors. Why? Because we're too busy with everything else. I was even talking about to one of my sisters the other day about, you know, how one of my kids is, or two of my kids can be very hard in aspect of demanding attention. And I thought, you know, the one who's not sometimes gets the back burner because they're easy, you know, and how that's not right. And we got to be careful, because the ones that bring the drama and the chaos will override the one that's more meek and just will self-entertain and is easy. And so, you know, but again, long-term, that can damage a child. Like, they didn't get enough attention. They, you know, didn't get the same opportunities, you know, and it's because of the chaos that the other one brings. So just looking at our lives in that way is sometimes when the enemy brings chaos in one area, it's because he's coming through the back door in another area. And we understand that God wants our lives to be ruled by peace. He doesn't want us flustered. He doesn't want us running, you know, ragged and with no energy, no life left, you know. And of course, I understand this is real life. We're going to have flustered days. We're going to have stressful times. But I believe that the Bible's word is true. And it says, when the peace of God rules and reigns in our hearts, right? It says that he will give us a peace beyond human comprehension. It's like, yeah, I got a lot going on in my world. I've got things, I've got business, I've got family, we've got ministry, we've got all this stuff going on. But when it's in order, when my eyes are where they're supposed to be, my life is in order, the peace of God will reign in my heart. So that's what we're talking about. So today I want to dive into, I guess I'll call it a four-part series, but looking at order in the home, divine order in the home. And this, for some people, can be a touchy subject. And I understand there's a lot of, you know, sometimes baggage of stuff that comes with it, of how somebody was raised and, you know, how their experience was, and, you know, or if there was just different circumstances that, you know, have caused people to view life in a certain way. But this is the word of God, and we're not, you know, I'm going to kind of make everybody an equal offender today, if you will. But I do believe that there is a divine order that God has for our home lives. And you can operate outside of that divine order, but I believe you will never fully have the full blessing of God, the full peace of God, until your home is operating in divine order. And the enemy knows if he can bring disorder to your home, he can disrupt your peace, he can disrupt your purpose, and even your prayers can be disrupted if your home's not in divine order. Why? Well, that's because God established divine order for the family. Now, listen, here's what I want you to understand today. Not to control us, but to protect us. So let's go to the famous scripture that husbands often quote until they get a right revelation of it. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. For husbands, this means you love your wives just as Christ loved the church. So today we're going to see how divine order in the home brings blessing, stability. It can leave a legacy for you and your children and your home. A home out of order breeds confusion, but a home in order brings a sanctuary of peace. My wife, Sarah, has always been very good about that. She has always said, you know, our home, because I got to protect the peace of our home. We can't just let anybody and their drama and their mess come in. And I'm usually the opposite side of, you need somewhere to stay, come on in. You know, that's just my personality. And she's taught me in a right way of, no, this is our home and it's a sanctuary of peace. And not everybody can walk through the doors. We got to protect that peace. So a second scripture, just to reaffirm this, is God has a design for family, is 1 Corinthians 11:3. And it says, the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. So order in the home mirrors God's order in heaven. Order in the home mirrors God's order in the heaven. In heaven. Now, listen, this isn't about superiority. It's about responsibility and it's about function, right? Like Christ is equal with God, but yet submitted to the Father's will. Like, likewise, divine order in the home is built on love, respect, unity. And a lot of times men will use this scripture and use it as some kind of tactic to get a wife to submit. And, you know, I'm in charge here. Well, when you look at how Christ led the church and how Christ laid down his life for the sake of the church, that we could be born again, it would be the man's responsibility to lay down his life for the sake of his wife and his family, and do whatever it is that he has to do to provide for his family. Because again, it's not about superiority. It's about responsibility. It's about love and respect and unity. It's not about dominance. It's about, I'll serve you with every ounce of my being to ensure your blessing and your benefit. Because that's what the scripture says, how Christ loved the church. He laid down his life. Why? So the church could receive blessing, the church could receive honor, the church could receive eternal life. Like, everything Christ did was for the sake of the church. And so when a husband is called to lead the home, he's called not out of dominance, not out of fear, not out of, you know, you submit, out of, how can I serve my family? How can I serve my wife? How can I serve my children to make sure that they have what they need to excel and be everything that God's called them to be in life? And so if that means I got to lay my life down and give up my desire, right, so that I can fulfill their desire, that is a picture of how Christ loved the church. Now, of course, it clearly says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I want to really just drive this home, because again, this verse of scripture can be so taken out of context and so used in as a weapon in unhealthy, emotionally abusive, sometimes physically abusive situations. And that's never, never what the scripture was meant to be. It's not about dominance, right? It's about roles and responsibility, and it's about function, right? So think of, in a few ways, a symphony or an orchestra. Like, every instrument is important, but the conductor brings order. And without order, it's not a beautiful song. It's noise, right? But with order, it becomes music. It becomes this beautiful song. It becomes this beautiful sound that is designed. And that's what God is saying when it comes to divine order in the home. There is divine responsibility. There's a divine order on how God has set up the home to function and be best, right? So when we get out of order, when we get out of that divine order, when husbands stop loving their wives as Christ loved the church, right? Husbands stop laying down their lives to see the betterment of their family. And I know you would think this stuff is basic, but listen, we're living in a culture and a day where men aren't wanting to even work. Men are wanting to stay home all day and play video games and whatever. And thank God I don't struggle with video game addiction. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing a video game, but it's just never been my forte in life. But, you know, when I was a retail store manager, I did that as a pastor in the early years. It just floored me. It floored me on how many, you know, 20, 30 something year olds were barely coming into work, calling out because they were up too late playing video games. They were up, you know, there was no drive. There was no, you know, and the sad thing about it is most of them had multiple children. And the Bible is pretty clear. It says that he who does not provide for those of his own household has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So the Bible is pretty clear. There's another scripture that says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So I'm just here to say, men, God has not called you to stay home and play video games. You might be like, well, I'm waiting for the right job. Listen, I've never in my life been without a job, ever, for a day. If I lost a job, which I have, I did something stupid, lost a job. I went to McDonald's and flipped burgers. And you might say, well, I'm not, you know, working, you know, for that. That does not say it's your long-term assignment. But as a man, you are called to get up. You are called to work. You are called to provide for your family. You are called to lay down your life for your family. And women, stop dating men who have no work ethic, who aren't providing for even themselves. Come on. You find a man who's a strong worker that loves God. Why? Because if they're not doing it now, because the best that you get somebody, let's be real, is when you're dating them. We all put on the good front. We all, you know, but come on. So anyway, that's a side note. But there is a divine order in the home. And we have to, you know, men, we have to, you know, we're not coming in saying, well, you submit. Well, you got to have your wife be able to trust you. That when the rubber meets the road, come on, you're going to provide for your family. Because one thing I know about women, I was raised with four sisters, a mother, and of course now I have a beautiful wife, Sarah, and they've all been strong women, is most of the time, and I'll say 99% of the time, when a man doesn't lead the way he's supposed to lead, a woman will rise up out of necessity, because there's that mothering instinct, and says, well, if you won't do it, I'll do it. I'll raise the children. I'll work. I'll do whatever I have to do, because there's that mothering instinct that she's going to take care of her family and her children. And I understand that. And so a weaker man would step back and say, well, she's just going to take care of all of it and do it, and I'll just, you know, ride on her coattails. That's not divine order. That's not what God's called your family to. That's not how you're supposed to function in life. So there's a divine order. So husbands, lead your wives with love. For husbands, this is in Ephesians 5:25. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Husbands are called to sacrificial leadership, not dictatorship. Sacrificial leadership, not dictatorship. Love your wives, love your family, lead your home as Christ led the church. Christ's leadership was marked by service, humility, sacrifice. And here's what I have found. When a husband leads in love, he makes it easy for his family to follow. It's not hard for a wife to follow when she knows that her husband has their best interest in heart, that he's not selfish, he's not self-serving. It's not all about him. He's not somebody who would sacrifice the best of, you know, what's good for his family to meet his own needs or desires, right? He'll lead sacrificially. I mean, think of Jesus washing his disciples' feet in John 13. Leadership, he displayed leadership in the kingdom of heaven is servant-hearted. Servant-hearted. So to the husbands, ask, am I leading in a way that reflects Jesus? Do my wife and children feel safe under my leadership? Does my wife know that everything that I do is for the betterment of them? Or am I selfish and self-serving? I have my own agendas in mind. I told you everybody's on the cutting boards today. So wives, we are called to partner. You're called to partner with your husbands with respect. Ephesians 5:22, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, I want to be clear about this. Submission does not mean silence. It means partnership. It means honor. It means trust. Just as the church submits to Christ out of love, wives are called to walk in respect for their husbands. Right? Respect empowers leadership. Dishonor breeds dysfunction. So sometimes it means, you know, all right, if I know my husband's leading, he's doing the best that he can, he may get it wrong. He may make some mistakes, right? But when we honor, what are we not doing? When we honor, we're walking in love and we're not pointing out everyone's faults. Sometimes husbands, we're going to do it different than wives, than you do it. Right? Like Sarah, I had this conversation the other day. I call it a conversation, right? Her bath time looked different than my, our bath time, but giving the kids a bath. She did it different than I do it. She washed their hair at a different time, you know? And so sometimes honor is about saying, you know what? He's going to do it different, but he's doing it. Right? So I'm going to honor, I'm going to love, I'm going to respect. I'm not going to point out, you know, if there was a fault. You know, I talked about this on Sunday. We get further when we don't have a critical spirit, but we get further in life where, like, if you can point out three things and affirm three things, and this is husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, all across the board. Co-worker to co-worker, if you can affirm three things that that person does well, come on, you're going to get a lot better in life. And then when you're, but here's the difference, because when you're constantly saying, you know, and not just, hey, I told you you did good something this morning, now here's my list of grievances. No, when you're constantly affirming what somebody is doing right, when you're constantly, you know, our kids, we have a little chore board chart thing that we're trying to teach them, like, listen, you're growing up. You can get up, you can do all these things. And I'm trying to be really deliberate on when they do it without me asking, reaffirm, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you. You're doing such a good job. And then when I have to come in and, you know, on a day and say, hey, you didn't do this or you didn't do it right. It's not like the only thing that they're hearing from me. Why? Because they've heard 50 affirmations from me all week long. And now that they know this correction's coming out of a heart of love. So whether we're dealing with employees, whether we're dealing with a husband or a wife or children, when we are just affirming people in nature, when we are just people who love people right, care for people, affirm what is good in them, build other people up, then when we have to come in, because if it's our role, if we're a boss, if we're a husband or a wife, you know, that needs to bring correction to each other or to our children. What do we know? We know that, you know what? My wife, she's so supportive. She's so kind. She's so generous. She, you know, is always building me up. So now what I don't hear is somebody who's just always putting me down, always correcting me, always nagging, always, you know, fill in the blank. Or as a wife, you know, you're not hearing a domineering husband who's just never satisfied, who just, you know, you makes you feel like you can't do anything right. No, you're hearing somebody who, because of their affirmations, that, hey, I want to talk about this over here, and maybe we could do this better, or there's a different way. Fill in the blank, right? So again, you will get further when in general you are a positive, affirming person that does not have a critical spirit. A critical spirit will divide the home. A critical spirit will ruin marriages. A critical spirit will crush your children's spirit. It will make them feel like they can never do anything good enough. They're not strong enough. They're not smart enough. They, you know, sometimes an affirming spirit says, you know what? I know that, you know, like Jeremiah used to come to me all the time, and I appreciate his brain because it's like mine and it's like my dad's. Like, I can't spell, Jeremiah can't spell. But we have a technical, like, brain. My dad was a great, great mechanic, and I think I would be had I applied myself to it, but I got in the world of TV and church life, and our brains just work a certain way. And even Jeremiah just, you know, when he was always little, and even now he'll come up and be like, Dad, I want to build this thing and have this whole idea how to piece this together and make that happen. And, you know, in the beginning, I was very like, well, Jeremiah, that's not going to work. It's not. And the Lord dealt with me one day, because what I'm doing is I'm crushing his creative spirit. Because why? No, it's not going to work. Why am I going to waste time? Because it's not about whether it's going to work. It's about, A, spending time with my son, and two, developing that part of his mind and his brain and his personality that's creative, and it's a builder. And yeah, he's going to get disappointed and it's not going to work. And I could see that coming 1,000 miles away, but it's not about that. It's about me affirming the gift and the call and how his brain works. But somebody with a critical spirit, somebody who's a nagger, somebody who's just always putting other people down, well, so that's not going to work. Just, you know, and you ruin relationships. You bring dysfunction into the home and you crush your children's spirit. So listen, I know that sometimes we give the world our best, right? Because we have to, because the job requires it. Because if you don't have people skills in the world, you're not going anywhere. And sometimes the hardest place to bring that is home. Why? Because it's so easy to take out the daily frustrations on those that we love the most. Been a hard day. You've had clients, you've had people, you've had whatever. You come home and it's just like you just dump it all on your family. But listen, that's clients, people, church, all of that. Your family is who God has chosen for you to lead, number one. And if they're getting the worst of you and not the best of you, are we honoring God? Are we stewarding well what God has given us? So husbands, we lead our wives like Christ led the church. We lay our lives down. We think of them first. We're willing to do whatever it is to provide for our family and to see their fulfillment and their betterment. Wives, we honor and respect and support our husbands. We encourage them. We challenge them to be the best that they can be. We don't, you know, come under submission out of, you know, abuse or anything like that. No, we come under submission in the aspect of we're partnering together, but we're honoring our husbands. We're allowing them to lead. And sometimes that means they're going to make mistakes, but we affirm and we honor and we build up, and we're there to pray for them and encourage them when they do make a mistake. So wives, ask, am I building my home with words of respect, or are we tearing our homes down? I said everybody was on the chopping board today. So parents, and I know we just talked about this a little bit, but raise children in God's order, right? Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up with the instruction of the Lord. Listen, children thrive when there is loving guidance and consistent discipline. Here's what I found. Discipline without love crushes. Love without discipline spoils. Discipline without love crushes, and love without discipline spoils. God's order for the home creates balance. Training with grace and correcting with patience. Now, listen, I'm not saying that I get this all right. I've said to Sarah, I said, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we have spoiled kids, and sometimes I feel like we have kids that just don't listen. And I understand they're all different ages and going through different things. And that's why I'm always amazed when people in church life or in everybody else's business, I'm like, I am so consumed with trying to make sure that my family's taken care of and my kids are raised right and everybody's getting enough love. I don't got time for other people's drama. You know what I mean? So it's like if people are so in everybody else's business, it probably means they're rejecting what they need to be focusing on at home. So I don't have this mastered. And what's so difficult about this is every kid is different. And what worked for one kid doesn't necessarily work for the other kid. And the best thing that I have found is trying to learn your children's love languages. And there's a whole book on that, the five love languages and what that is, words of affirmation, gifts of service, time spent. You know, you can research more about that. But because how I'm affirming one, my daughter Judy, man, all she needs is a hug. And she's good, right? She's a physical touch. As long as dad hugs her, she's good. Jeremiah's like, get away from me. he's not. But Jeremiah is gifts, right? And again, I'm not, you know, or to say that I just buy him gifts and we spoil him. Of course, we love him and hug him too, because I force him. But learning that about your children and asking the Holy Spirit, help me minister and raise and bring life to each child the best that I can. Everyone is different. Right. But when we bring intentionality to that, it's like a gardener pruning a vine, right? Like we're not in it to hurt, but we're in it to help them grow stronger. So discipline without love crushes, but love without discipline spoils. So we got to have both. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And lastly today, Psalms 128, how joyful are those who fear the Lord. Your wife will be like a beautiful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like a vigorous young olive trees that as they sit around your table. This is what happens when God's order is honored in the home. The home becomes a place of fruitfulness. Generations become blessed because of what happens in your home. Peace and joy replace strife because of what happens in your home. So it's no wonder that the attack from the enemy in our generation is on the home. No wonder that science and will prove to us that homes with absentee fathers, the rate that people get involved in terrible things goes through the roof. Science will tell us that children who have dinner around a table are more likely to do well in school, have a career, are less likely to be involved in drugs or premarital sex. Why? Because there's something that happens when a home is in order. So I'm just presenting to us today, if we want order in our lives, you know, and I understand we all got to work. I understand all of our schedules are different. I understand all of that. But what I am saying is if our number one call and our number one purpose, listen, if you have a husband, you have a wife, if you have children, your first and foremost ministry, call, purpose, destiny is those people, your husband, your wife, and your children. Number one above everything else. Obviously, God's first, but you hear my heart on that. And your spouse, and then your children, and then ministry, and then your job, and then everything else. And often what I'm saying is we spend so much time focused everywhere else, and our home is out of order. We're not sitting with our children around the dinner table. And if you can't do it at dinner, then the breakfast table. At least once a day, have that time, if you can, with every ounce of your being, that everyone's sitting around the table, phones down, having conversation, looking at each other, asking how each other's day was. Listen, what happens in the home affects generationally, protect it, guard it. Like, you know, even Sarah and I were, we talked the other day, you know, we love country music and we love prime country, you know, 80s, 90s country music. And so we have it a lot on in the car. And the other day I just started really getting convicted that, you know, we have this playing more than we got worship music playing. And I look back and our kids are back there singing 90s country. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is I'm not, they're also not singing, you know, the worship song. So I'm like, we got to make a correction. Why? Because if they, my main goal is to have them serve God, to have them know God, follow God. So again, just to review, husbands, pray daily for your wife. Wives, speak words of encouragement daily. Parents, set aside intentional family time around the table, around the word. Make your children pray for one another, right? Like, so when you're sitting around the table, anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a test coming up? Teach our kids how to pray and trust God. And everyone, right? Parents, wives, husband, children, make Christ the center of the home. Restore the family altar. Restore prayer time. Worship in the home. This week, choose one area of your home where you will work to align it with God's order. What I wouldn't suggest is that you come in and, you know, flip the table, so to speak, and try to change the course overnight, right? Because that's going to breed more chaos. What I would suggest is, what is the one area? Are we not sitting around the table? Then communicate that. Hey, listen, I really feel like this is strong. Pastor James is talking about this. We got to sit around the table. Hey, we got to pray for one another, whatever that looks like. So this week, find that one thing that you could start leaning into. And I missed a bunch of our comments. Let me read a few. Cheryl's flying to Texas today to see her mom and brother. Well, blessings, Cheryl, on your drive or your flight anyway. Have a great time in Texas. And of course, Jason or Shannon Brommer, and maybe Jason's on as well, but is praying for that as well. Tanisha says, preach that. I will, sister. I'll preach it. And she also says, talk to your kids about God all through the day. Scripture tells us that. Yes, absolutely. And Nate Finkbeiner says, challenge accepted. All right, sir. Yep. And again, this is, I'm not preaching this as somebody, come on, I'm about to have five children. I'm not preaching this as somebody who's mastered it all. I'm not coming to you as a parent, marriage, life expert. I, like I said, this whole thing about divine order is coming out of what God has been speaking to me. And we've done pretty good in our world, I will say that, of prioritizing family time, prioritizing, you know, sitting around the table together. But there are some areas that we got to strengthen. Marriages in our marriage, we got to strengthen. And, you know, it's always so funny, and I'll share this and then I get off. But, you know, when Sarah and I got married, you know, I had always come from a background that had a very strong pastor's wife who, or was he actually a co-pastor, you know, most of the time, the churches I grew up in where she preached and sang and prophesied and, you know, helped lead the church just as much as the husband did. And when Sarah and I got married, we started the church the same year. And a lot of people who were with us, you know, from the church we came from was very used to a pastor's wife being in that co-pastor role. And Sarah tried and got very frustrated because it just wasn't her. It just wasn't. And I remember her coming to me one time saying, do you feel disappointed that I'm not that, you know, pastor's wife? And I said, absolutely not. Because here's what I found is that Sarah is amazing at saying, you know what? You're done ministry. Time to come home. And I was pastoring for 10 years while I was single. So, you know, life ministry was all consuming for me. And she's been very good at helping me create that work-life balance and that family balance. And I've often said, had I married somebody who was running in ministry the same way I was, I know I would have lost my family somewhere. And but thank God for Sarah, who's that rock and that one who comes alongside and says, no, come on. you're not going into the office today. We're staying home as a family. And so I greatly appreciate her. And so I just say that to say is, you know, there is no cookie cutter husband. There's no cookie cutter wife. Like, you know, some husbands say, well, you know, that scripture, wife, submit yourself to your husband. And I want my wife to be a stay-at-home mom. Well, listen, your wife has a call and a purpose of God on her. And if she's called to be a stay-at-home mom, then husbands, we should do everything we can do to make that happen and try to empower that. But some women are called to lead as CEOs in boardrooms and preach to the nations and lead ministries. And, you know, of course, that doesn't negate their responsibility as a parent. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, so husbands and you know, in serving a wife who has a dynamic call, and I hate to say that because a stay-at-home mom is a dynamic call, but, you know, a marketplace call, so to speak, looks very different. But either way, we lay our lives down for our wives and say, what can I do to support the call of God on your life, whatever that looks like? So do you understand what I'm saying? Is a lot of times we take this verse of scripture and we get this mindset and this picture. Well, this is how it's supposed to look. And I'm saying each person is different. Each kid is different. Every husband, every wife is a different personality. What you have to do is you have to discover their God-given talent, their God-given purpose, their God-given destiny, and do everything you can do to encourage and propel them forward in the call of God that's on their life. And that brings divine order into the home. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for this time together today as we look at how you have established the home and how we can lean into our role in creating that order and supporting one another and leading our families with love and compassion and integrity and helping each other and serving one another so that we could say that for me and my house, we have served the Lord and we will serve the Lord. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today as we have looked at divine order in the home. I want you to remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.